I love it when we say good morning and good morning back. It is a good morning. I do have a couple things to say as far as announcement wise. First, I want to welcome any visitors that are here. I think this is mostly home folk this morning, but you're here. You've gathered in the name of Jesus Christ to honor and glorify Him. That is your worship. That is what you are here to do and what you are here for, and we're glad that you are here. I also want to say that the QR code continues to be updated, so if you have a smartphone and you want to know happenings with Lakeview, you can do it that way, or you can get it on our e-blast. You can also request to be friends on Facebook, so there are a number of ways to get information as the church moves forward. Also, if you're giving your tithes and offerings today, prepare to do so during the offertory video time. That's when we do it each week now, and it's been working very well. And thank you for how you give and care for one another and the church. Another announcement is admin board Sunday night, February 26th at 6:30. That's at the end of the month, so just know there's an admin board on that night. There are some decisions that need to be made and continue to be made. So that'll be, you don't have to be a member of the admin board to come to those meetings. Just want you to know that. Next Sunday at noon is an Upward Soccer volunteer meeting. I'm just going to level with you. We had so many kids last year that we know that we need volunteers. If you can come up here and help, don't feel like you're getting roped into anything or any of that kind of pressure. This is a fun thing, and it's been fantastic, Upward Soccer. And so Crystal needs volunteers. I'm just going to tell you, she needs your love, she needs your prayers, and your support. So if you would like to help this, look, there are people that sit in the lobby there and just watch folks going in and out of the restroom for an hour. So just be aware that wherever you can help, all hands on deck. She will need many places to be filled to serve. We don't want to run short this year on servants. February 22nd is Ash Wednesday. We will have two services here at this church. We'll have one at noon on that Wednesday, and we'll have one at 6:30. And both of those services are where it's our tradition where we put crosses on our foreheads and we realize that life is such a fragile thing. And we start the Lenten season on that day to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And so those are the announcements. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Father God, we come to you in prayer. This is your hour. We give it to you. Send the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts through song, through prayer, through worship, through giving, God, through the message, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, something that's not making the news, but has made the news in the Christian community, is right now there is a revival going on at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, where parents are now driving to go and worship with their kids. I'm aware that no invitations have gone out, but that families are gathering and siblings are gathering, and the Spirit has fallen on the people there. And it is an incredible thing. I'm also aware of several other areas in the country where the Spirit has fallen. And sometimes things have to happen for the Spirit to fall in our hearts. Maybe that's what He's up to. As I look out at you, you are a beautiful church to me. You're a beautiful people to me. Let the Spirit fall. You are marvelous. We're going to read Galatians today because a word that seeks to stop revival is identity. Identity is a word that has now hijacked many in society, many in the workplace, and many in the church. The worldwide church is in an identity crisis. So let us, with our spiritual ears, hear the teachings found in the Holy Scriptures on the word identity. Let us go to Galatians 2, 15 through 21. If you brought your Bibles, we use them here. Galatians 2, 15 through 21. Now, before I read this, I want to say this. Let me set this up. You ready? Perhaps one of the most important letters in the Bible is Galatians. I'd go so far as to call it what some scholars have called it long before I came on the scene, but the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. Why? Because what you have in Galatians is Paul is arguing. He's fussing. He's fighting for the Christian faith. And Paul can move away from being a nice guy in this letter. He's mad. He's angry about the level of stupidity in the churches that he's established at this point. Paul is fighting with Peter, more specific. He's fighting with Peter here. And that's my setup for our reading this morning. Galatians 2, 15 through 21. Listen for the word of the Lord. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. But through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The word of God for the people of God. Paul's fighting, brothers and sisters, for the gospel of Jesus Christ as you have been taught it. Some things, church, are worth fighting for. I want you to think about something this morning. Think about this fact. If Paul would have been passive, if he wouldn't have stood up for what he thought was right, if Paul wouldn't have gone out and continued to carry the mission, then you and I wouldn't be here. Think about that. What Paul is doing is he's preaching and he's teaching in a way that screams that the whole world is invited to this party. And I can't think of anything right now of greater importance for us than this. Paul is arguing or about what our identity is supposed to be, you know, as a Christian. Today, many people are saying my identity is this, my identity is that. Just look around at what your ears have heard and what your eyes have seen. There's a lot of fake in this world now. I was underage. Well, I'll tell it anyway. I was underage and I wanted to sneak into a place called Poor Richard's when I was young. So a friend of mine who was 21 handed me the ID of another friend over 21. And he said, "Chris, use this. The doorman will never know it's not you." Look at y'all smiling. Oh my goodness, that struck a chord. I want you to know, I don't know what he was thinking. The dude on the ID was redheaded. I said, no way. The point to that story, the wrong ID can get you into a heap of trouble. And it can cause you to lose your way. The person on the news says it this way: I identify as this, or I identify as that. I pondered that this week. Never has there been a generation on planet Earth to struggle with who they are than the one that we are now living in. Who am I is a question that we will all answer one day, every one of us. Even if we don't answer it, we will answer it. A Christian is one who lives in Jesus Christ, because a true Christian is one in whom Jesus Christ is alive. That's a sobering thought for a Sunday. To give yourself over to Jesus Christ is to say that Jesus Christ is now your life. Today is to daily declare that Jesus Christ's way is, well, your way now. So let's cut to the chase. I mean that Jesus Christ's life is your very identity. And if it's not, it's supposed to be. There was a clash between Peter and Paul in Antioch, and it was about your identity. Oh, come on, Chris, about mine today, sitting in these chairs? Absolutely, church, if you call yourself a Christian. Paul's appeal to the churches of Galatia was about their identity. I want to read Paul's heart. I want to go back and pick off something that I already read, but I want to just look closely real quick at verses 19 and 20. Now, Paul's angle comes from Romans 6. There's a bridge there. And when you're baptized, you are baptized into Christ's death. Why? So that you can now live his life. Galatians 19 and 20 here. For through the law I died to the law. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, church, to be a Christian is you receive, and then you live by a new identity. A new identity that leaves the flesh for a new foundation. I think about a child who is adopted. I do. I think about a child who's adopted. They leave the adoption center or the orphanage. And what do, if we're honest about it? They leave an old life behind. Now, in the second service, I'm going to get some pictures back there to Darren. From the Langford family. The Langfords were in my young adult group, and they decided to let go of their personal, agendas. They let go of their own identities as business leaders in the community, because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what happened was, I was sitting next to Deanna. I wasn't a pastor then. I was leading the young adults, and Deanna Langford started to cry. Right in the pews, the traditional service at Gunnersville First United Methodist Church. And she didn't cry a little, church. She was bawling. So much so where it was almost embarrassing, you know, because I was right next to her. And she was one of my young adults. And so, as a leader for Jesus Christ, after the service, I asked her if she was okay. Now, you never know in ministry what you're going to get if you ask somebody if they're okay. And she said, I am great. And then she started to cry. She just started to cry. Deanna, what is it? I didn't know what was going on, church. And again, good friends. She could hardly talk. And she looked at me with watery eyes and tears running down both cheeks, and she said, God has just called us to adopt. And they did. Scott and Deanna launched out with great courage, and they adopted their daughter, Sophie, with her new identity. Isn't it funny how, and you might know this, but have you ever noticed when a couple is called by God to adopt and they adopt a little kid, have you ever noticed how the little kid looks like one of the other siblings or the parents? Like, Sophie looked like she was carved out by God for the Langfords. I'm telling you, instantly, she looked the part. She didn't just identify as a Langford. And over the years, Sophie, just by her situation. Well, I'll just say it this way. She helped the Christians at their church to know who they are in Jesus Christ. To be in Christ means that we learn, we accept, we take on a new identity. You see, this identity is based on a new foundation. Oh, it is. We carry the mark of a new life in Christ. And I want you to know, this is nothing new over the centuries. This is what's supposed to happen. The Jews carried the mark of being a child of Abraham through circumcision. Even the food they eat, the way they communicate, it was all set up to establish one word, and that word is identity. Think about the celebratory festivals that you hear about. It was to separate them from the Old Testament days to today. Historians of old would say it like this. The Jews were different. They were a strange people. They had these strange customs. They were different from culture and society. They had a strange God. And at times they were even difficult to get along with. Why? Well, because they didn't participate in the larger culture like everyone else. They're different. The law calls for and aided them to live different lives than the rest of the world. One of my staff members, we were talking about the word revival. And the comment was made that something needs to happen here. Something big needs to happen here for the people to gather and head forward with this new identity on a mission. Lakeview. That staff person was spot on. I wanted to look at that staff person and say, you didn't get that from people. You got that from my Father in heaven. Sound familiar? The law calls for and aided them to live different lives from the rest of the world. And Jesus makes that crystal clear by saying in John 17, be in the world, but not Paul declared something that sounds eerily similar in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Israel, as a word, means God's gathered people. They're different. So are Jews first-class citizens and we Gentiles second-class citizens? No, church. In this passage, Paul argues that God's true Israel is one single person, actually, the Messiah. Paul says, he is the faithful one. He is the true Israelite. Jesus, Messiah, is the only foundation for those who wish to be God's people. He is the tie that binds. He is our only identity. The question Paul raises is this: who then belongs to the Messiah? And how is that identity to be shown? And Paul zeroes these questions in. He says to belong to the Messiah is to be in the Messiah. And what's true of the Messiah becomes true of the person who lives in the Messiah. All of those who worship, all of those who hope in Christ, all of those who have decided to live for Jesus, all of those who long to hear well done, all of those who had to walk away from things that were less than God's plan and purpose for their lives, all of those who put their hope fully in Christ and in Him alone are Israel. God's gathered people. So where is your hope this morning? Where is your identity? We just love identity. The Jews of old and today fly the flag of David. Why? Why does that flag fly? Well, David became a mighty king, we know that. But identity begins to surface, church. David took out a huge, massive enemy. We love the David versus Goliath story. It's the Jews' story. That's why the Star of David flies over there today. The Jews see themselves in their lives as always having to do battle with a larger, stronger, more powerful physical enemy. This is the mindset of those who live in the Holy Land, even today. They find their identity in a sling and a stone. I once heard it said that it is only until you have nothing left in the battle do you ever really begin to find your identity in God. There's some truth to that. Have you ever been tired of the fight? Paul writes this letter as a Jew that had become a Christian, and he's speaking straight to Simon Peter when he says that we are by nature Jews and not Gentiles. What's he doing here? He's trying to make it clear to you and to me that if we really live for Christ, meaning our identity, if it is found in Him alone, if we believe He is our Messiah, then we believe Jesus is the crucified Messiah. And if we are in the crucified Messiah, then all the previous identities are to be gone. Paul declares that the law doesn't define. Markings physically and ethically don't define us. We are defined. We are identified in a whole new way now. We are Messiah's people. And as such, His life is alive in us. Well, I identify with the Republicans. I identify with the Democrats. Oh goodness. I identify as male, I identify as female. I identify as straight, I identify as gay. I identify as black, I identify as white. I identify as privileged, I identify as underprivileged. I identify as a successful person or as a down and outer. I identify. It's everywhere now. Listen to where the world is trying to throw the word identity. All over the place. It's by design. Wake up. Well, I'm this or I'm that. Church, central to following Jesus Christ is knowing and remembering who you are in Christ. Obedience to Christ is the glad response of faith. Faith in what? You can have faith in all kinds of things. Faith in a loving God who sent his only son to die for you and for me. For us who are Israel. The word righteousness here by Paul is shorthand for Christian identity. Go study it. Go look at it. It's there. Your identity, my identity. It's a big deal. It's a big deal out in the world. It's a big deal in this church. And perhaps most importantly, it's a big deal in your heart. Find your identity in Christ alone. I'm working on this message, and that song came flooding back to me from my youth, in Christ alone. I would like to ask one of the musicians to come up and just play something soft. I would like to open the altars up this morning. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the world. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the wrong identity. And the resolve that it takes to live into is love. His identity. You are a beautiful church. Hold on to Christ alone. Our altars are open. Home. She's away at seminary. And the world has been tearing her to shreds. And she goes to a worship service, and the Spirit breaks out. Will the Spirit break out here? I don't know. Mom, you gotta come. You gotta make the drive across the country to come to worship. Are you that hungry for this? I don't know. Bring Dad with you. They didn't have enough space to fill the place. They ran out of space because the place was so full. And that's going on right now. And it's been night after night. Scholar said that if we believe everything about the Bible that it says, then we would be on the phone talking with everyone we know. Where do you find your identity? All rise for your benediction. Father God, you are not just a small room in our hearts. You, Lord, are our identity. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, bless you.